This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. You're doing a job search. A coworker shares a contact at one of your target companies. Why in the world would someone you don't know make time to see you? Ted Mayer is here to talk about why people want your networking requests and will say yes to helping you. He's a career coach at Essex Partners. His company helps senior executives in transition. Ted is also the co-author of Finding a Job That Loves You Back, and he joins us from Boston, Massachusetts. Well, Ted, I want to break our conversation into two parts. Let's start by talking about why people will say yes to networking requests, and then let's talk about how to network well. I know you have some specific tips about how to do that, but I want to start with networking itself. Ted, I talk to candidates a lot, as I know you do as well. And often I get people asking me, why do you need to network at all when you look for work? Why can't you just apply for jobs and wait for the employer to call?
There are really two primary reasons, Mac. The first one is it's the best way to land an interview and a job. And then second to that is it also builds community in your job search. So what I mean by those is it's the best way to land an interview because there's conflicting research out there, but somewhere between 65 and 85% of people who are job searching get an interview and ultimately their job through some sort of connection at the company. So those are pretty high odds that you got to meet. Second, when you're job searching, you want that community because you need the connection with people to keep going. You need buddies. You need people who can help you get through the day because you're kind of on your own in a job search. So those are the primary reasons.
Can you find a job without networking?
You can, but the two things that come up are it takes longer and it's much harder to get the job you want because your options are more limited. Because as you know, there's a whole hidden job market out there of all kinds of, and it's again, differing research, somewhere 40 to 60% of jobs are never posted. So if you don't network, you'll never find out about those. So you're already reducing the pool of options.
Why are so many job seekers reluctant to network? Ted, I mean, again, you talk to candidates all the time. What are they telling you about why they are reluctant to network?
It's primarily because they don't feel like they belong, or they feel like it's schmoozy or salesy and inauthentic. And so they don't want to do it. And the reason for that is that they see it as a transaction instead of building a relationship. There's a former colleague of mine who wrote a book called You, You, Me, You. And the reason for that title is it's supposed to get across the idea that it's all about the other person. And if you make it about the other person, you can build the relationship instead of just having that uncomfortable, begging for information conversation.
Well, let's talk about why people will say yes to your networking requests. You have a number of reasons here. I want to walk through them one by one. And the first one is you say people will say yes because you're meeting that other person's needs. Tell us more about that, Ted.
Yeah, people have intrinsic and extrinsic needs. And networkers or job seekers often overlook that. So if I ask you for a meeting or an informational interview, I'm acknowledging that you're an expert in something that I need, and that acknowledgement can fulfill you in some way. Also, you may get a charge out of mentoring or coaching me and feeling that you're helping launch me into my career. Also, you may learn something from me, either from my past career or from other companies and other people I've spoken with. I might have information you don't, so I might be able to give you something that's valuable in that way. And then the more extrinsic values or assuming needs, such as interests that people have. I had an informational interview with someone when I was an early career coach, and in their LinkedIn profile, it said that they were fascinated by the overlap between coaching and dispute resolution. Well, it happened to be that I used to be a mediator before I was a coach, so I knew that space very well. So when I reached out for the meeting, I mentioned why I wanted to meet, but I also said, by the way, I noticed in your LinkedIn profile that you're interested in this area. I used to be a mediator. I'm a coach now. I'd love to talk to you about it. And that was directly meeting one of their needs. So through all this, it's all about meeting their needs.
When you make that request for an informational interview, how can you best focus on the other person's expertise?
Doing your research. We're going to get into networking a little further, but one of the parts of networking is doing your homework on the people you're meeting with. And so that's partly their online footprint, LinkedIn, social media, et cetera, interviews they've given, talks they've given that are online. By doing those, you can find out what they're expert in, what they do, what they care about, and you can overlap that with what you need to know. We're going to get into the fact that you need to have a goal when you're networking, but that's critical, is mining up what you need with what's important to them and what they do.
Should you ever send a request? I mean, common ones, I think we've all seen at different points in our career, examples include things like, can we get together for coffee? Can I pick your brain? Should you send a general request like that, or should you always understand the expertise of the person you want to meet before you reach out?
You want to understand the expertise, one, because it's rare, but maybe they're not helpful to you. Again, that's rare because I've had people who have taken their trash out and run to someone on the street, and that's the person who got them a job. So you never know. But you want to be specific in your request of why you want to meet, because you don't want to assume that they know, because they don't. So you've got to make it clear what your goal is and why you want to meet. And then you can ask them, meet for coffee or lunch or something like that, because that also may meet a need. But you want to be clear.
Well, your second suggestion for why people will say yes to your networking requests and help you is that they're going to be curious about you. Why would someone you don't know, Tad, want to learn more about you?
Well, part of it is that part of the curiosity is from just wanting to help. A lot of people have received a lot of help in their careers and they want to pay it forward. But again, getting back to the needs, sometimes they just want to help. The other thing is that people are curious about other people. We don't want to forget that as a job seeker. It's not like suddenly because we're looking for a job, we're worthless or we're not interesting. And so the more you can put into that initial email why you might be interesting to them, such as the conflict resolution and coaching that I mentioned before, can really help spur on that getting the meeting, because it'll pique their curiosity.
A third point you make about why people will say yes to your networking requests is that you've got information to share. What kind of information, Tad, can a job seeker offer, especially if you're reaching out to somebody who might be a well-known leader in your industry?
Well, it's interesting because we'll get into it, but there are different layers of networking, and one of them is informational interviews, meeting with someone for true information. When you do that, you may meet with, let's say you are trying to learn about different companies. So let's say you're in the tech sector and you've met with, some of the big names. If you go to one of the companies, that person isn't necessarily talking to those other companies every day, whereas you have been. If you've picked something up that's non-proprietary, of course, from those other companies, and you've put together some sort of a trend or something, they'll be fascinated by that.
Finally, the last point you make about why people will say yes to your networking requests is that the people you want to meet with are going to want to share their own stories. Tell us more about this and why that matters when you're networking.
That is critical. This gets back to the you, me, you thing. You want to make the meeting about them. And so as an example, if you're doing an informational interview, you don't go in there. Many people go into informational interviews trying to impress the person they're meeting with. That's not the goal. The goal is to get information. So you want to engage them by asking them a question that will be, where the information will be helpful to you, such as, let's say you want to become a media planner in advertising. They're a media planner. You can ask them, why did you get into media planning? Or what's it like being a media planner? Or what do you like or what do you dislike about being a media planner? By asking those questions, it gets them to engage, it gets them to talk, which people love to do, especially about themselves. And you're not boring them, you're engaging them.
Terrific. We're going to take a break. So stay with us. When we return, Tad Mayer will continue to share his advice about why people want your networking requests and will say yes to helping you. And we've talked about the why, Tad. I want to dig into the how, and I know you have three specific tips for how to do that. So stay with us. Is your resume ready for your next meeting? Go to maxlist.org/top resume. The expert writers at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Learn how you can fix your resume yourself, or hire a Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Tad Mayer. He's a career coach at Essex Partners. His company helps senior executives in transition. Tad is also the co-author of Finding a Job That Loves You Back. He joins us from Boston, Massachusetts. Now, Tad, before the break, we were talking about why people want your networking requests and will say yes to helping you. And you took us through four reasons why that is so. And now let's talk about how to network well. And you've got three tips that you share with your clients that I'd like to walk through. The first one, effective networkers know their goals. Why is it important to have a goal for a networking meeting, Tad? Why not just wing it?
Well, the shortest answer is it's just like driving a car. If you don't know where you're going, you'll never get there. And so it's essential to know why you're going to the meeting. And I've met with many clients who says networking doesn't work. And I asked them what their goal was, and they didn't have one. So, often the goals can be varied. Sometimes it's because you want to brainstorm with someone to try to figure out what you want to do next. Or it may be an informational interview to really get information about what that job or that industry or that company may be like. Not a ruse to try to get a job interview. It's really about information. Or you may want to get information about a person you're going to be interviewing with to find out what's important to them so you can really do well in the interview and meet their needs again. And even after you land a job, it can be helpful because let's say you get a project you don't really know how to do well. You can reach out to your network and ask someone for advice on the best way to approach it. So the layers of networking is really important to think about because it is much more than just trying to find the connection to the job.
What if you're not clear about your goal? What do you recommend to your clients that they do to get that clarity before they make that request?
Think about it, talk to someone even more. It is much easier to talk through dialogue and figure out what's important to you than to stare at the wall in your office or your bedroom and try to figure out what it should be. So I really recommend bringing a buddy, talking to a coach, something to figure out what that goal is and be clear.
Who's in charge of the meeting? You've made the request. You understand what your goal is. You walk into the room. Who runs the meeting, Tad?
It's a great question and so important because you do. You're the one who requested the meeting. Therefore, you're the interviewer. And most people don't think of that. They're expecting the other person to run the meeting. And so it's this blank stare off for a while. You have to figure out an agenda that is important. You're running a meeting, so you've got to figure out how to meet your goal.
Well, let's talk about agendas. Why do you need an agenda? Maybe you know your goal, but why can't you just, again, get together and see where the conversation takes you? Why isn't an agenda necessary?
Because again, you want to stand out in this meeting. You want it to be something where, again, you don't have to impress anybody, but you want to have a good connection with the person you're meeting with. And that takes a little planning. And also in that agenda, you want to do it in a way that'll get to the goal and that will engage, as we talked about before, will engage that other person. And winging it can often lead to not doing that. So you've got to be effective in that.
How do you recommend creating that agenda? Do you, for example, have your clients actually sit down and write 2 or 3 points on a pad of paper before they walk into the room? What have you found to be effective?
We do. And we actually, because so many people are hesitant about networking and especially informational interviews, I'll use those as an example. We came up with the simplest formula for an agenda, for an informational interview to make it as comfortable as possible for the client. The first step is to ask them, again, engage them by asking them a question that you care about the information that you'll learn. Why did you, as we said before, why did you get into media planning? What do you like about it? What do you don't? What don't you? They get to talk about themselves. You get to learn. The second part is after you give them a little snippet about your background and what's important to you, the second part agenda item is what advice do they have for you to get into that company, that role, or that industry? So that's it. It's, you know, background information, and then what advice do you have for me? And you can make it more complicated if you want, but that's the simplest informational interview that I know of.
And tell us how that's going to help you. What difference can a conversation about those two topics make in a job search?
Great question. So the first one, asking for their story, basically, about media planning in this situation, you're going to learn things you didn't know you wanted to ask about. They're going to hit subject areas about the industry, about the role that you didn't know you didn't know. And so that's why that broad open-ended question is so valuable. But the advice, the second part, is so rich because you can go to 1,000 websites and do research, but those are not going to customize the information to you. And so to go to someone and be able to give them a 1 or 2 minute overview of what's important to you in your next role, and then be able to say, what, you know, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? And they actually take that on. They're going to be very, very grounded in your search, which is pretty exciting. And two, they're going to come up with ideas you won't get anywhere else.
So those are the agenda items you recommend your clients use. I'm curious, are there questions that you always recommend people ask in these conversations?
So a good way to close often is there anyone else you think I should speak with? Because we're always trying to expand our networks. So that's one. Others really depend on the conversation to think about what real questions do you have? We want this to be authentic. So what real questions do you have in the moment to ask this person?
What's your best advice for putting together those questions for that particular person? What have you seen work?
So researching that person, researching the company they work for, doing whatever research you can on the role. And again, it depends on the goal. If you're trying to learn about a company, you're going to have questions about the company. So as you do your research about the company, you're going to want to look for things you're really excited about as well as red flags. And so have some questions about, you know, am I reading this right? I read this on the site or I read this in the news. Is that really the way it is or is there something I'm missing?
Your final tip for effective networking is to understand the outcomes you want. So what are examples of effective outcomes?
So for informational interviews, you're not going to walk out of an informational interview or out of any networking meeting, either it's brainstorming for what you want or learning about the person you might interview with. You're not going to walk out with a job. So don't think you are. You really want to think about that role. So if you are interviewing, let's say you're meeting with someone to learn about an interviewer because they used to work with them and you connected with them. What success in that situation looks like knowing something that you didn't already know by the research you did about that person that will be helpful in the interview, something that's important to them, something you might be able to mention, something you might be able to mention overlap with. Maybe there's some sort of affinity or affiliation. So it depends on what the goal is, but you have to match up the goal with who that person is to get that information.
Do you recommend, just as you did a moment ago, not only setting goals for the meeting and having an agenda, but setting specific outcomes that you'd like to see come out of an informational interview?
Yeah, and it's a good point. I wrap that into goals in my own head, so I'm glad you pulled those apart. You really do, because again, if you don't know where you're going, you won't get there. So you have to understand that those outcomes and be, and if the meeting's not going that way, you can be pretty transparent and say, wow, thank you for all this information. One thing I'm really, really interested in is this, and you can move the conversation to that. And typically, they'll appreciate that because you're running the meeting, as we mentioned earlier.
What happens if you don't identify specific outcomes that you want before you walk into that room for the meeting?
You'll probably think that the meeting was worthless, because you will walk out thinking, I didn't accomplish anything. And it's because you didn't figure out what you wanted to accomplish. And you don't have the job yet, so why was this helpful? So you have to be really clear going in about what's important to you and what you want to accomplish, to your point.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Tad. Now, tell us, what's next for you?
So as you know, I've co-authored, and you mentioned, the book, Finding a Job That Loves You Back. I'm very excited to be working on that. And I'm really focused in my own practice on later in that, especially because I work with senior leaders. Later in the book is your career fulfillment and really trying to figure out what you want your legacy to be and what you want to do in those last years of your career. And I'm really having fun diving deeper into that at this point.
Well, terrific. I know that listeners can learn more about you and your book by connecting with you on LinkedIn. And when they do reach out to you there, I hope they'll mention they heard you on Find Your Dream Job. Now, Tad, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about why people want your networking requests and will say yes to helping you?
Well, the reason to ask for them is because you can do it alone or you can ask for help, but you can't do it alone. And so that means you have to get help. And so think of those interests. What's important to them? What are those intrinsic and extrinsic needs that they have? And how can you meet them to make them curious about you and want to meet with you?
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Amechi Udo. He's the founder of Your Career Matters. Amechi's company helps you take charge of your career. You will likely change careers several times. What's the best way to do this? Join us next Wednesday when Amechi Udo and I talk about the 7 steps to career change success. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislenberry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.